Oh! Started with our morning service. I will start with our announcements for this week and any upcoming information. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays. The church doors open at 5 p.m. Class at the church begins at 5:30 p.m. and in person and in Zoom. They're both starting at 5:30 p.m. April 27th through the 29th is the Baptist General Spring Board Meeting. Coming up event, praise God, it's church anniversary time. On Sunday, May 17th, 2026, during our morning worship service, we will be celebrating the 134th church anniversary of Union Missionary Baptist Church of Bloomington, Illinois. Reverend Dr. Jerry L. Wilson, pastor of Salem Baptist Church in Champaign, will be the speaker. Please invite your family and friends to come and join us in celebrating what God has done through Union Missionary Baptist Church for 134 years. Come one, come all, you are invited. Vacation Bible School, Hooked, Reeled In to Serve God. This will be June 15th through the 19th from 5:30 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. each evening, Monday through Friday, here at Union Missionary Baptist Church. Reverend U.D. Dr. U.D. Williams, our pastor. VBS registration forms are available in the lobby of the church and are also located under the Forms tab on our church website at www.umbchurch.org. Forms may also be submitted electronically from the website, or paper copies can be given to a Sunday school teacher. In order to assist us in preparing for the week, we ask that each and every person planning to attend complete a form by May 1st, 2026. Classes are for all ages. If you have any questions, please contact Sister Cynthia Johnson. Her email address is cynthiaj54@icloud.com. Those are our announcements for today. Turn this over, service over to the hands of the pulpit. Thank you.
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 As pastor, there's some privileges and things I need to do. But as you're aware, we had a bad storm. Amen. We had a bad storm, and sometimes it's just good to set the program aside. We need to pray for those who are affected. I was getting calls and things of this morning, and making sure that our members who were able to be reached to and things, there's still some whose power and things are out, worried about if their groceries going to go bad, all that kind of stuff. But we're praying, church, ain't we? Come on now. Amen. 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 So those who are here and you're able to be here, maybe you're even standing for yourself, your residence. Maybe you had a tree fall on something or some type of damage. Will we please stand and pray for you as well as others who have been affected by this storm that came through our area. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come right now specifically for those who have been affected by the storm. Some are without heat. Some are without electricity. Some homes, roofs have been damaged, and cars have been damaged, and fences and things have been damaged. But God, we know that you're able. And even in the midst of this storm that has affected neighborhoods and city and geographical locations, we're still going to honor you and lift you up. Lord, you are the resource and you are the source. So we ask that you just bless and touch all the families who are affected, all the relatives. And if there's anything that we can do, Lord, we can't get to everybody and know everybody, but we are willing to help. So make us aware. Make somebody aware, because we have two hands and two feet and we're willing to serve and help and assist. So Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh upon those who have been affected by the storm. Give them strength. Give them resources. Supply all their needs. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. We'll turn it in the hands of Reverend Johnson. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen.
I will bless the Lord at all times. Let me say that again. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Welcome, Union. Glad to see you. Hope that you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, because his will, let it be our will. And those in the parking lot, welcome you. Enjoy the service. And let us get started with our Lord Prayer. If you're able to stand, stand. If you can't, we understand. For God has been mighty good to us. Just like the pastor was just saying about the storm. You never know when a storm going to come up in your life. And our Lord's Prayer comes from Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Let us read it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. While you're yet standing, let's go to our scripture reading of Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Let's read it together. 37 says what? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Love God and love others. Say that again. Love God, love others. Say it one more time for the Holy Spirit. Love God and love others. Amen. You may be seated. Choir's coming now. Minister us in song.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. It won't last always. So get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. I know you've been hurting deep down inside. But let me encourage you, it's gonna be alright. Troubles and trials come to make you strong. You keep on believing, you keep holding on. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. God's got a blessing for me today. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. Well, God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing with my name on it. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing with my name on it. With my name on it. Yes, it's my name on it. It's got my name on it. With my name on it. With my name on it. Yes, it's my name on it. Thank you, my name on it. Hallelujah, my name on it. My God's been so good, I just can't explain it. I can't contain it. I just gotta let somebody know. I gotta let somebody know that God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. Well, don't you know God's got a blessing? Yes, God's got a blessing. Well, God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With your name on it. God's got a blessing. Yeah, God's got a blessing. Ooh, God's got a blessing. With your name on it. With your name on it. With your name on it. Yes, with your name on it. Hallelujah. Your name on it. Thank you, Lord. Your name on it. Ooh, with your name on it. Thank you, Lord. With your name on it. Yes, it's got your name on it. Ooh, yes, it's yours. Yes, yes, it's yours. Yes, yes, it's yours. Yes, it's yours. 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 Yes, it's yours. Who is yours? Yes, it's yours. Hallelujah, God. Put your name on it. Put your name on it. Put your name on it. Yes, put your name on it.
Song says God's got a blessing with my name on it. Amen. Amen. How many believe that God's got a blessing for you? With your name. With your name on it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir, for ministering to us through song and reminding us of the blessings of God. because that's what God does to his followers and disciples. He gives us the good things, the happiness he gives us, we call blessings. Amen. Thank you, choir, for reminding us of that. Amen. Amen. We want to right now gather ourselves for our offering. Amen. We want to gather ourselves for our offering. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Amen. We're giving to God in obedience. Amen. Amen. He's blessing us and keeping us and sustaining us. And part of worship is giving our tithes and our offering. Amen. Those who are able, if you please stand, face the inner aisle, come toward me. Amen. And go toward the outside aisle. Amen. Amen. And deposit your offering and all tithes. Amen. Father, we just ask your blessings upon those who gave, those who desire to give that could not, those who are not able to give. We just ask the blessings upon this offering for the resource of kingdom work and kingdom building. Increase in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, finance team. Amen. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for prayer.
Thank you. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father God, we come before your presence today just to say thank you so much for an eternal kingdom, for an unshakable kingdom, for a powerful kingdom that you've invited us into through the power of Jesus Christ and through his shed blood. Lord God, we come before your presence today to say thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, Lord. We thank you for all the ways that you provided for us, oh God. We thank you, Father, for hearing us when we cry to you in our midnight hour, Lord God. Dear Father, when you found us when we were in those low places in life, Lord God, and you picked us up and you set us back on solid ground, we want to say thank you for that, oh God. We want to thank you, dear Lord, for hearing our prayers, Lord God, when we wasn't feeling too well in our body, Lord God, and we called out and cried on your name, saying, Lord God, have mercy, Lord God. Oh, God, we called upon you asking for your comfort, and you showed up, Lord God, and you let us know that we are loved, Lord God, and for that we say thank you, Lord. Father God, we pray right now, dear Lord, that the flow of your power will continue in this place, Lord God. For we, just a few of those members of your body of Christ, have come together to call upon your name. Praying, Lord God, that you will meet us where we are, that your power may flow into our lives. We pray for your blessing on every family that's represented in this place on today, Lord God. We pray that you will strengthen men, women, boys, and girls, that we might stand together to represent that kingdom, dear Lord, that you made us a part of, Lord God. You said that people would know us by the way we love one another, Lord God. So we pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might love one another, Lord God, as you have taught us to do, Lord God. And most of all, the way you've empowered us to do, Lord God. Even when we don't feel like loving, we know we can call on your name, Lord God, and your Holy Spirit will give us the power to love, Lord God. Help us to stand boldly in that truth. We pray for your blessing on our pastor today, Lord God. Dear Father, we pray that you would give him strength to stand on your word, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen him on the inner man through your power, Lord God, that he might represent your kingdom well, dear Lord, and that he might lead us in the way that you lead him, Lord God, that we might be the lights in this world that you called us to be, Lord God. Father God, we pray for those who perhaps struggled to get here today, Lord God, because sometimes it ain't easy, Father, but we pray that you will reward their diligence, Lord God, by letting them know that they were touched by you on today, Lord God, and give them the strength to run on a little while longer, Lord God. Father God, we pray that you will forgive us of our many sins that we committed in your sight, Lord God. Oh, Father, have mercy on us, Lord God. Have mercy that you would hear our prayers, Lord God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might walk with confidence as the kingdom people that you called us to be, as we witness to this world about a God who would save anyone, dear Lord. Oh, Father God, give us strength. Lord God, there are many prayers that I have not been able to speak today, Lord God, but we trust and believe that you know our hearts today, Lord. Father God, we pray that you would hear the whispers of our heart, Lord God. We might not have the confidence to say them aloud in front of our brothers and sisters, but God, we're going to trust that you know, that you hear, and that you answer prayer, Lord God. Oh God, and we'll continue to be grateful and faithful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor that we are able to muster up to give you, Lord God, because it all belongs to you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say together, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now I'll turn it over to our pastor, Dr. Unique Williams.
For our music ministry, let's give God a hand clap of praise for our music ministry. Our musicians, thank God for our associates, officers, members, friends, those who may be outside listening, those who are inside, those who are watching us. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we want to continue to keep those. Maybe there's some sitting in here who have been affected by the storm that hit this area. Amen. Amen. We want to be prayerful and be willing to assist and help as we know and can. Amen. Amen. It's good to see your faces on today. I don't plan on being long, but I plan on being long enough. Amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Amen. If you have the Bibles, we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'll be looking at verses 19 through 22. Be reading that. But the verse I really want to look at is that 21st verse that we look at. I believe that 21st verse. Amen. Actually, the 20th verse there. Amen. Amen. How many know that Jesus is the answer for the world today? Above him is no other. Jesus is the way. I'm going to get to it, but we know that there's a war going on. Iran, Israel, and other nations are involved. We're praying, but God's word is becoming true. These things must be. And simply, Jesus is the answer to what
Jesus
we see.
Jesus is the answer.
Oh, yes,
for the world today.
Or above.
Above him there's no other.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
For the world today.
Oh.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Turn that around one more time. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for
the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Amen. Before you turn into your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, this is why I write myself notes. Amen. Amen. We have our church anniversary coming up in May 3rd, 3rd Sunday, I believe May 17th. Part of that celebration, we want to honor those who have been members, those who have been members here for 50 years, 50 years. Sister Beverly Gay, if you've been here and you have not talked to her about that, you being here 50 years or know someone, please talk to Beverly Gay so you can be recognized on that day for being a member of Union Missionary Baptist Church for 50 years. Amen. Amen. I'm not even that old yet. Amen. I'm close. but I'm not there. Amen. Amen. If you've been here 50 years, please let Sister Beverly Gaye know. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, those who are able, if you stand. 19 through 22, key verse, verse 20. It may touch a little bit of that 21st verse, but Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19 through verse 22. Let us read King James Version. If yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. Verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians reads as follows in King James Version. Now therefore, ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, today I want to share with you Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. Amen. You may be seated. Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. Simply what I'm saying is that Christ is the foundation of our faith. Everything that we do must be aligned with Jesus Christ, who is the builder of the body of Christ. Amen. The church, because we're going in to celebrate the church. And talking about the church is that the cornerstone, everything is lined up to who Jesus Christ is. That he came down from heaven, that he died for you and me. He was crucified. He died for you and me. And by the resurrection of the power of God, he rose again. And then he went back up to heaven, and right now he's an advocate in the ear of God for us. And for that, we ought to say thank you. Thank you for Jesus being our advocate, sitting on the right hand of the Father. As we look at this text today, there are some things that as we look at our life, you may have some issues, you may have some challenges, you may have some circumstances going on, but I assure you, if you look at the foundation you are standing on a strong foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and upon that foundation, you are strong. In other words, you can make it, my brother, you can make it, my sister. God is your foundation through Jesus Christ. So as we look at here, sometimes we need to answer, why are we attending church? Why are we attending church? The same bricks that made this building many years ago may be a part, the same manufacturer, may be on a house, may be on a business, may be somewhere else. These same pews, same material was used, using furniture in a home or a business, maybe some restaurant. What makes this building different than any other building? And the question is, why do you take your time to come to this building to be built up in the body of Christ? The church was established on the foundational truths of the scripture. Christ is the ultimate cornerstone that holds the church together. Christ is the mortar, if you will, the cornerstone, the everything that ties everything together. And I have to remind us that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, we have to be reminded that Christ is the foundation and must be the foundation of everything we do, spiritually and personally. Especially when we attend God's church. Jesus Christ has to be and must be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And if I had time, I'll keep on counting. Jesus has to be the foundation of everything we do. Has to align with the gospel message. I'll say amen if I got to say amen myself. See, look at this. Can you imagine a big cathedral or a big building and it's towering over the skinny city skylines and everybody can see this big building? It's a beauty and its strength is pictured in magazines and on the YouTube and just the right height. We need to understand that even though this building that we're picturing is big and huge, it cannot stand if it's not on a solid foundation. The foundation, the builders have to take time to lay that slab and to lay that foundation because it supports the building. In the building you're sitting in right now, it's sitting on and connected to, I'm trying to make a point, a foundation. And here in this text, we see that it's presented to us by Paul that there's some construction going on in our spiritual life that we must be just as this structure relies that we see in our mind on a solid foundation to stand on. So when the winds of life blow and the things happen, it can stay right there. And the foundation is strong enough to hold the building in the midst of all situations. The church is what I'm saying, must rely on its spiritual foundation. And the spiritual foundation is Jesus Christ. That's what verse 20 says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, meaning everything that these apostles, these prophets did, aligned Jesus Christ, aligned with the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. Yeah, we got to talk about it. We need to take inventory of everything that we do in God's body must align with Jesus Christ. If somebody asks you what you doing right there, why are you doing that? Why are you going about it that way? You ought to be explaining how that aligns with Jesus Christ and his ministry. Oh, help me somebody in here. Because imagine looking at this and seeing what Paul is saying, and he's writing to Ephesus and Ephesians, and he's emphasizing the nature or the what, and he's emphasizing the purpose or the why of the church. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what is the church? What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. The functioning structure of Jesus Christ. Look at your body. You got hands, right? Even if you don't, you got something, amen, to grab a hold of. You got legs, and they all have a function. You got things like hearts and kidneys, et cetera, that all make up the body. So all of them have their role, and we must understand the what is the church. And then we also must ask ourselves, why the church? What is the purpose of the church? Because in a world filled with division and chaos, Paul highlights that the church is a united body, one body through its foundation. What's its foundation? Jesus Christ. The church stands on Jesus Christ. I heard the winds blow the other night. I heard about the storm. I saw the man pointing there to the tornadoes. But I was thinking about my spiritual life. I said, thank God for Jesus. I've been through some storms in my life. I've been through some stuff. Is there anybody in here can testify with me? You've been through some stuff in your life. Matter of fact, you say, Reverend, I got one better. I'm going through some stuff right now. Well, whatever you are going through, think about the storms that were going on physically, but think about the stuff that you're going through. If you are anchored in Jesus Christ, let the lightning flash. Let the winds blow. Somebody gonna help me preach this. Because as long as you are on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you are stable and able to stand in the midst of storms. Yeah, Ephesians 2 focuses on the transformative power of God's grace, how God's grace can come within us and transform us into the body of Christ, meaning being a part of the body of Christ and having a role. But it's because of God's kindness, God's allowance, his favor, God's grace, and then also giving you some identity. Some of us have no clue as to who we are. don't know who we are. We know we got a name. There's a birth certificate. Somebody gives us a nickname. But really, really, as we think about it, we don't know who we are. So can I tell you who you are? If you have Jesus, you're a child of God. And that's the beginning, that's the middle, that's the end. If you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, He's your King, you are somebody, you are identified. And can I go a little bit further? It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter. If you say, I got Jesus on my side, you 5, 6 years old, you 15, 20, 90, 80, 110, 150, 60, whatever you are, if you have Jesus, you are somebody to God. You are His child. And can I do you one better? One day He's going to look at you as His child and say, servant, well done. But I need to embrace this identity as God's child. I don't know. It ain't none of my business how you was raised, so I'll just talk about how I was raised. My last name is Williams. And when I walked around the community, my parents reminded me that I'm a Williams and whose child they are. And most people around my little circle knew who my daddy was. And if I was acting in such a way that didn't align with my daddy's rules and my name, there was going to be some phone calls. Help me, somebody. Because my behavior or my thought process, sometimes my language didn't align with being a Williams and Pete's boy. Help me, somebody up in here. So I learned real quick after a couple of beatings that I have an identity that I am a Williams and I am Pete's boy. And there's a certain way I ought to act and be because I'm Pete's boy. Help me, somebody. Ain't that Jones boy? Yeah, that's Jones boy over there. That's my mama, y'all. I had an identity of who I was. And the same thing is with you in Christ. Ain't that Christ, brother or sister? Ain't that his little brother? Sister? That's Christ's little brother, little sister. You have an identity. You are connected to somebody. And the truth is, you ought to act like him. Because you're part of the community. Jesus Christ. He's your big brother. You his little brother or sister. And Ephesians 2 and 20 forms part of Paul's description of the church as God's household. Household is where the family is. Come on, somebody. And in Ephesians 19 to 22 verses in chapter 2 is I shared with you those verses and read that in the King James Version is Gentile believers were once exiled or excluded. They weren't allowed to participate. But now they're fellow citizens with God's people. And how did this happen? Because the same Jesus that the Jews recognize, some of the Jews recognize, is the same Jesus that the Gentiles recognize and believe in. And if they believe in him, then that makes them a part of God's family. What I'm saying is they are integrated. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, is integrated into God's spiritual building. And this verse here specifies that this structure is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So that means that if you're asking what am I supposed to do, I don't understand why I'm here, then you must align yourself with Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know who Jesus is. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I'll say it again. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. And I can only speak for me. I want you here. I want you sitting in the pew. I want you listening. Because if you're listening to the word of God, whatever God has for you, the Spirit of God will touch your heart. And you'll become what God wants you. I don't care if you're Jew. I don't know if you're Gentile. I don't care what you are. But I do know when the faith of God touches your heart and you are converted to be a believer, you my brother and you my sister in Christ. But that's not for me to push or to force. All I can do is lead you to water. Help me, somebody. And the Holy Spirit will say, you better drink that gospel. You better get connected with Jesus Christ. So my focus is I need to see you. I need to see you because I'm going to touch about this. Faith cometh by hearing
and hearing by the word of God. And I'm excited. I'm not worried about your classification, because I'm excited that you're here, because I know that the Bible is true. And my Bible tells me faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can, but it's really hard to hear the word of God at home. Radio ain't on, YouTube or anything else. But if you up in here, then you are a part of that equation. And you're listening, whatever's going on in your life, even if you hadn't made a choice to do whatever you need to do in the kingdom. But if you're here on a regular basis, then you are hearing the word of God. And my Bible tells me, and the Bible is true, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you hear, that means you're hearing something. So this imagery draws from the Old Testament temple metaphor. And it emphasizes when it says that are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It emphasizes stability and unity. Watch this now. Believers grow together into a holy temple in the Lord, indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes into the believer and develops the believer. The passage underscores the church divine architecture, how it's put together, rooted in the authoritative revelation of God. What I'm trying to say is sometimes I'm like Nicodemus, and I ask the question, how can a man enter to his mother's womb and be born again? Sometimes we just don't get it. But when I think about that, I say, Nicodemus, thank you. Thank you for asking that question, because that got me on the process of birth. Babies don't come out grown. I didn't say how they act. Talking about physically, babies come out babies, don't they? Amen. Healthy baby. And when the baby come out, they have to have some type of milk. Oh, talk to me. I'm trying to preach this thing now. When a baby come up and they don't immediately go to solid food, mama, daddy, whoever taking care of them, slowly wean them on to certain things after the milk. But the milk is the foundation. And then I just know, I watched my wife and how she did, because I wasn't allowed to raise my children, amen. And she would implement peas to see if they were allergic to peas. Then she wouldn't touch the peas. They all right with the kids. Then she would do carrots. Help me, somebody. And she would check. Then she'll put a little turkey with it, with a little broth. She'd do it a little bit to see if the baby's system, I'm trying to help somebody here, if the baby's system could do it. She didn't throw it all at the baby at one time, because if she threw the peas, the carrots, and the baby broke out in a rash, you don't know what it is. But if you start, I'm trying to teach it. If you start little bit by little bit, then you'll know what the baby needs, and you'll learn what the baby can have and what the baby can't have. Help me, somebody. You done cook that chicken broth and put some garlic in it. And you know you put garlic and you love garlic, and that done broke out the baby. But if you done thrown everything at the baby, you don't know what done. But if you just gave them the broth with the garlic, you can kind of, well, you know, they can't do the garlic. I'm trying to help somebody here. So when people are coming to Christ, and even when people are coming to the church and they're coming, they have to be born again. They have to go through a development process, and you can't throw everything at them. You have to give them little bit by little bit and see what their system can handle. That's even with the greeting. That's even with the invitation. You have to do little bit by little bit, because Nicodemus asked that good question. Can a man enter to his mother womb and be born again? Jesus said, you asking these questions you don't understand, but that's a good question, because we try to have the person enter to the mother's womb and be born again. No, it's a spiritual birth that develops over time. And if you're going through the birth process and you're trying to assist persons with the birth process, you don't throw it all at them at once. You got to check their system out and see what they can handle. I know I'm standing on this thing. And the first point I want to talk about is what the Bible says. It says there, in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And look at this. God ordained, meaning God chose this. God has anointed this. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets is God ordained. So if I'm a part of the church, I have received, I'm reading this Bible and I'm going through and I'm receiving what God has placed in the ministry of apostles and prophets. And the term apostles and prophets simply refers to the early leaders in the church who were divinely chosen to preach or proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish the teaching for the church. They laid the groundwork. They laid the foundation for the faith we hold today. And all of this was inspired by God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working through the apostles and the prophets, laying the foundation of what they saw and what they heard about Jesus Christ. Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." They were connected to the foundational work of the apostles in the early church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, around that 28 verse says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets," and it keeps on going talking. But God used the apostles and the prophets to lay the gospel foundation, the gospel doctrine, the gospel teaching for us to be edified, built up by. So as I look at this first point, is God ordained the foundation? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets is God ordained. I want to look at this, that there is a proclaimed word, the proclamation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't mean no harm before I go in and explain this. I don't mean no harm, but I got to be preaching the word of God. When I'm teaching, I don't mean no harm. I got to be teaching the word of God. When I'm in Sunday school, I don't need to be talking about Trump. I don't need to be talking about how I knitted my coat last night. I need to be talking about the word of God from beginning to the middle and the end. If I'm using an illustration, it ought to be tied to the word of God, because Jesus did that. He used agriculture. He turned, we still know what wine is. Some of y'all still know what wine is, right? He turned water into wine. He used the regular things around him to show who he was, but it was showing and related to the kingdom of God. The word of God has to be proclaimed, and you don't have to do it all day. Amen. This establishes a strong foundation of faith in your life when you are connected to the proclaimed word, as the apostles and the prophets were called and anointed by God to do. This word that you are engaging, the word that you are listening to, is anointed and appointed just for you. Anybody have a bad day? Anybody have some stuff going on in your day? I know a preacher that every time you run into him, that's why he's going to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I command you shall," that scripture, y'all, "rejoice and be glad in the day." You need the word in your life. It is the foundation upon which your Christian belief and relationship, personal relationship with God, stands on. I was talking about this earlier, and this is what I was saying. Romans 10:17, where you get the phrase, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So then faith, it comes by hearing. The way that my faith is nurtured and my conversion starts is by hearing the word. By hearing the word of God. It doesn't say anything else. Yes, somebody can invite me, somebody can talk to me, but the faith starts by the word of God and the hearing thereof. This verse emphasizes that faith is developed through listening to the message of Christ. It highlights the importance of preaching and sharing and engaging on a regular basis the gospel, the word of God, who God is. What is the gospel? That Jesus was on Calvary's cross, that he died for you and for me, that he got up with the resurrection power. In other words, he came from heaven to earth for you and me and went back again to show us that he is the firstborn among many that are acceptable to go to heaven. That's the gospel. And how do I accept the gospel? Is the first thing that's hard for all of us, and including me, is I got to be humble, church. First, I need to be humble and say, I am messed up. Somebody may say, I'm jacked up. I got blemishes. I'm crooked. I got some stuff that needs to be worked on. And God, I can't fix it by myself. I need you. And God said, that's all right. I got Jesus. He died for you. His blood covers you. So in other words, if you come and you listen to the gospel and you engage the word of God and you feel depressed and worried, you hear the word of God and you say, everything's going to be all right because God has given me Jesus, and the same power that rose Jesus up is the same power that's going to shake me out of this worry, shake me out of this pressure. I got the gospel, and you know what? The gospel has me too. So I have to be around the proclaimed word. I don't have to nudge anybody, grab anybody, poke anybody. I have to encourage you to engage the word of God. Why? Because how does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. And hearing the message is crucial. Individuals can still choose. Remember now, look at verse 16 in Romans 10. There is a choice. You can't force nobody to accept the word of God. Individuals and persons have to choose either they're going to accept or reject. I've noticed this. When folks say it, I may get in trouble. I made my kids go to church. Please think about that. You made them go to church, but did you make them have and introduce them with a relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a difference. There's a difference of making your kids or somebody go to church and introducing them and give them everything they need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if they just was made to go to church, when they get old enough and get out your house, they're going to stop. But if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to continue in kingdom work. I know that's not popular, but the preacher needs to say that. We don't need to drag them to church. We need to build them up with a meditation in the morning before they go to school. We need to pray with them and let them know who God is. And when you go through some challenges in life, you got some struggles, you're like, yeah, I've had a bad day, but Jesus is fixing it. He has the power. Teach your kids to have a personal relationship with Jesus, not just drag them to church. And why am I saying that? Because that establishes teaching. That establishes doctrine. That's the next thing under the proclaimed word, and the importance of being connected to the word of God is because it establishes doctrine and teaching. And even the Holy Spirit says it will remind us of the things that Jesus had taught. So if you are teaching yourself and you're teaching the children, if you're teaching your spouse, if you're sharing the word of God, you may not need it today. Hallelujah. You may not need that passage today, but keep living. And the Spirit of God will remind you of a verse that you read when you was little. You ain't never thought about that verse. You ain't even thought about that word. You know why? Because you didn't need it then, but it was tucked in your heart. And when you ran into your stuff, because the doctrine was established in your heart, it was that word of God. And you know what you did? You stopped. You looked it up on your Bible app. You opened up the word of God. You studied. And then when you closed that Bible, you said everything all right right now. That's established doctrine in your life. That's inspired by God. What is the word of God? The Bible tells us that 2 Timothy 3:16, it's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. And if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. It's not about going to church. It's about having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that will bring you to church and keep you in church. So believers are encouraged to devote yourself to public reading, to being a part of Scripture and read it. And yes, there's going to be passages of Scripture you have no clue what God was saying. No clue. You know why? Because it's not time. But keep on breathing in. and keep on breathing out. And you'll even say, God, you're awesome. Now I see what you were saying, because it was time for you to understand. You know why it's not time? Because all of us, that's including me, there's areas in our spirituality we need to mature in, and we're not ready. Understand some of the truths of God. That's everybody. But God will put you through situations and you reflect. But in order to have that experience I'm talking about, you have to establish the teaching, the proclamation of the word in your life. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm leaving it alone. Faith coming by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not theatrics. Not because I'm giving you a card. Not because we're going on lunch. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So what am I saying? Understand the importance of Scripture in your life and the lives of others. We are called to build our understanding and practice our faith based upon the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. So what does that mean? When I walk out of here, if you don't hear anything else, the first thing the preacher is saying is you need to make engaging the word of God a priority. That means to be number one. You're not going to understand it all. Not going to see it all, but it's there in the cabinet of your heart. And when you need it, you say, I didn't know that was back there. Come on, let me get some of that. The second thing in this verse that I see is that Christ as the cornerstone provides something for you and me. It provides not only stability, number one, but strength. You're stable and you're strong. When you have Jesus Christ as your cornerstone and you are aligned with Jesus Christ, that allows you to be stable and that allows you to be strong. Some people, nobody in here, but some people are shaky. Some people get worried real fast. You know why? Because they're not aligning with Jesus Christ. You know what a cornerstone does to a building? That means it aligns the building up. Everything is connected, so everything is in order. That means that the building is stable and strong. But if you just throw bricks out there and they ain't connected to anything, not going to have any stability and you're not going to have any strength. And Christ in this passage is described as the cornerstone, which is a vital, important, a must stone that determines the position and the alignment of the entire structure. If you're not aligned with Christ, then your whole structure and relationship with God is off. Without Jesus, your life is going to collapse. Just like without the cornerstone, the building will collapse. Jesus' life, his death and resurrection are essential to the church's existence. It's essential to your existence. You can't make it without aligning your life with Jesus. I'm not talking about anybody here, but I want to talk about me. I can't line my life up with my job. I can't align my life up with my children. I love my children. I can't line my life up with my wife. My parents are aging, so I make sure I go over there and check on them every day. I can't align my life up to them. They are important to my life, but I can't align my life based upon them. My life has to be aligned on my priority and relationship with Jesus. Then everything else will line up, because the Bible is true. 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7 says, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. What stone? A cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. Isaiah, Old Testament, it says that, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion. What's this foundation? A stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. Now watch this. 1 John says it this way, 2 and 6. 1 John 2 and 6 says, whoever claims to abide in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. I need to put my life with Jesus. Some of you are familiar with this one a little bit more. Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed with this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's aligning your life with Jesus. I'm about to get an amen. This is somebody's favorite here. That's mine. The one you about to say, Pastor, that's my verse. You better watch yourself. That belonged to me. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Need to align ourselves. Here I go talking about love again. 1 John 14:50 says, John said, if you love me, oh, help me somebody. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what it's about, church. When we come to church and we're celebrating the church and what God has done for us for 134 years, we have to celebrate. We love you, Lord, and we're not just going to be hearers of the word, but we can be doers of the word. And the priority is having a personal relationship with you. I love a good concert. I love to be entertained. I love comedy. I love jokes. I love doing it. But don't entertain me when it comes to my worship. Don't make me feel good, because feel good ain't going to save me. When I come to church, I need the word of God, because I need to be corrected. And can I tell you, you need to be corrected. You need to be lined up. When you come to church, you shouldn't be comfortable and entertained and say, ooh, they made me feel good today. Then you need to go back in there and hear the word again. Maybe I'm the only one. Does the word cut you going in? And cut you going out? And fix some stuff in your life? Yeah, help me, Holy Ghost. We need stability and strength in our life. And the way to have stability and strength in our life is to make sure that our foundation is aligned with Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. Reflect on how Christ serves as the center of your faith. In times of uncertainty, we can rely not on our strength, but his strength, if you know who he is. Build your life around Jesus. Build your schedule around Jesus. I know I'm meddling now, but if you work on Sunday, get a job that you ain't got to work on Sunday. If you're busy on Wednesday night, get a job that you ain't busy on Wednesday night. Or go talk to the boss and say, hey, I'm a believer. I know you, whatever's going on, but can we work something out? Can I leave and come back? Something. Make Jesus our priority in your life. And I'm going to tell you this, it ain't the time of the sermon for that, but just step back, be still, and know that he is God. Watch him work when you make him a priority. I thank the Lord for the job. I thank God for the money and things of that nature, but you have to take time for the Lord. And be honest, you ain't going to do it by yourself. You mean to do it. That Bible's still sitting in the same spot on that table it was 3 months ago. The last thing that I'm leaving y'all alone, it's time to go. The church, as the household of faith, the spiritual house, is built on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets teaching and sharing with us. The church, as the spiritual house, is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who is this lined up? Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. The importance of this is that the unity among the believers, the transcending cultural and social barriers, are broken because of Jesus, because there's all kind of bricks up in God's house. Burnt bricks, pretty bricks, ugly bricks, broken bricks, misused bricks, bricks that folk don't even care about. That's a part of God's building. And what I'm saying is, God's building is an organic building. It's a building that grows not through us, but through the Holy Spirit. Can I remind Pastor U.D. Williams of something? Just because you're the pastor of the church, it's not your church. It's God's church. God does with his church what he wants to do with his church. Pastor UD, and however he want to do it, he can do it. You know why? Because God is sovereign. That's the theological term. He has the power, the independent power, and no outside influence can break that. Can I just tell y'all plainly, God in charge. He the big boss. He called the shots. He's the caller. It's his church. Anybody up in here? Can I remind you? This ain't your church. Y-O, your church. This ain't your church. This God's church. He is sovereign and he can with his church. What he wants to do with his church and how he wants to do it. Because believers are living stones growing into the temple, implying an ongoing development process under the Spirit of God's influence. Oh, I know I said some big stuff there, but I'm about through. There's something we even sing and say. Please be patient. We should do more than say it. Please be patient with me. For God is not through with me yet. Some of us need to walk around with the construction tape all around us. Under construction. Matter of fact, you'll see none of me because I got so much work that needs to be done. I'm all wrapped up in it. I'm under construction. So please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. And can I tell you the truth? God is not through with you either. All of us are a construction zone. We're organic and we're growing into what God will have us to do. And can I ask you a favor? Let me make my mistakes. Because if I don't make my mistakes, I can't grow and lean out and grab and say, Lord, help me. Let your brother and sister make the mistake because they need to be able to holler out, Lord, help me. And see that when they holler out, Lord, help me, he's right there and pick them up. Let people develop in their relationship with the Lord because it's organic growth. The church is a spiritual house and is built on this foundation of us all coming in and developing together. Colossians 3:14, I told you I'm about through. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you love me, you're going to put up with me. If you love me, you're going to be flexible with me. Now, my mama loved me, but she disciplined me. My father loved me, but he disciplined me. Didn't criticize me, didn't tear me down, but he straightened me out. Because they love me. So in the body of Christ, we're going to help people and discipline them. But can I tell you something? Before you discipline somebody else, discipline yourself first. Make sure that your stuff is lined up first. Not just one department, but every department, everything needs to be lined up on the shelves. Last one, Ephesians 4. 4-6, there is one body and one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the household of faith. That's the spiritual house that this foundation is built upon. So now, I told you I'm about through. I'm through now. And all I'm saying in this is that you need to align your life with Jesus. Who is Jesus? Mary's baby. Who is Jesus? The bright morning star. Who is Jesus? The rose of Sharon. Who is Jesus? My great getting up morning. Who is Jesus? My water when I'm thirsty. Who is Jesus? My bread when I'm hungry. Who is Jesus? My great getting up morning. Yes, he is. He's my savior. Yes, he is. He's my peace. Yes, he is. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, you're loved by Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. If you got it in your spirit, just say, yeah. If you got it in your spirit, look at last Monday and say, yeah. If you got it in your spirit, look at Tuesday and say, yeah. Look at what God did on Wednesday and Thursday, and there was a Friday. Hey, 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 hey. Storm coming on through, and you listening and seeing me, you ought to say, yes, he did it. I made it through. I made it over. Hey, hey, hey. Align your life with Christ, who is the cornerstone of our faith. If your foundation is Jesus Christ, then your life is stable and strength. Christians, my brothers and sisters, let's tell the truth to everybody. Just because you're a Christian, that don't mean you're not going to have any challenges and problems. Just because you're a Christian and going to Sunday school, Bible study, etc., that doesn't mean that you're going to understand everything about that passage. Let's not sell and give something that is not true. But what happens is, because you went over it, when the Spirit needs you to see, you will see. When the Spirit of God needs you to understand, you'll understand. But you can't do that if you're not there. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to tell the testimony. The church has people in it. And you have people, people going to be people. People going to say things, people going to do things. But don't let them keep you from what God has for you. Don't let what people say, do, look, sound, whatever, because Satan knows you. And even sometimes, folk ain't looking at you funny, but Satan make you think that they looking at you funny. Somebody may have said something that was funny to you, but it wasn't them, it was something you went through. So don't let your engagement with people be a distraction to what God has you to do, and that's engage his word and study his word. Because people are going to be people. I'm not saying they right. I'm not being dismissive. But I'm saying is, your job is to engage the word of God and grow thereby the sincere milk of the word of God. My brothers and sisters, thank you for listening to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What I need you to do. I was a little long today because I needed to do some teaching. Hopefully this helps somebody. What I need you to do, this is what I need you to do. I need you to come up with one thing. One thing. One thing. I need you to come up with one thing this week that you're going to work on that will strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Just one thing. You know what it is, but something that will strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then watch God work. Watch him when you make him a priority. Sometimes we need to take time and talk about stuff like this, but the foundation of your life is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us stand. Is there one, my brother, is there one, my sister, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You are welcome to receive him now. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. Anyone? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come. You may raise your hand, whatever God is leading you to do. Is there one, my brother? Give your life to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one does not have a church home? You like this to be your church home. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, on today? Is there one? Is there one? You may come. If you want to connect with this body of believers, if you want to get on the website, under Get Connected, you can get connected that way. Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come. Is there one? Give me. Thank you, Lord. Give me, thank you, Lord. Is there one? Is there one on today? Can y'all help me sing this verse then as we head out, if there's one you still have room? But as I look back over this weekend and I look at my house and what God has given to me, I just have this in my spirit. Thank you, Lord. Anybody feel like worship? I'm going to let you go. But can I get at least one line of it? Can y'all help me out? Just lift them up. Look over your life. How God bless you and kept you. Just lift this line up with me and simply just sing it with me. Just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Is that one?
Lord.
Is there one? Is there one? Oh, thank
you.
Thank you.
You,
Lord.
Lord.
Oh, just lift your voice to heaven and say, oh, thank
you.
Thank you, Lord. See that none, but still we give God the glory and the praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the chief cornerstone. Thank you for reminding us through your word that we need to align our lives with yours. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Lord, we lift those up who have been affected by the storm, family members, friends, and neighbors. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Go with God. Go in peace.